to the inaugural broadcast of American Exposé on Republic Broadcasting. This is Chris Kerner speaking to you on the 25th, Monday the 25th of July, 2005. The major messes are well in place. The Sovietization of America is, in my opinion, well underway. We're going to have Charlotte Isaby with us on the first hour. Second hour, we'll connect dots. And we're going to have John Stadtmiller with us on the second hour. We need to connect with the financial situation of the network. And having done research myself on broadcasts and what it takes to do networks, I know how important it is to keep this funding in place, especially with good hosts giving you the truth and the information. The Tour de France, I've watched for years. This particular Tour de France was no different than any other one from the past for me, although Lance Armstrong won his seventh Tour de France. You cannot believe the incredible ability of that man to pull this off. You just can't believe it. I mean, these people ride 90, 100, 140 miles a day for 3 weeks with 2 days off in between. Monday was a rest day for each week. But the incredible ability of these athletes to do what they do is just amazing. And certainly look for Lance Armstrong to be part of the New World Order setup. John Kerry was watching with him on this last run yesterday. Lance Armstrong will be indoctrinated into the Democratic Party. Lance Armstrong will be promoting Agenda 21 and more bicycle use. I'm sorry to say this is going to happen. However, you know, how can you criticize bicycle use? You can't. Bicycles are fine pieces of equipment. They're well developed. It's important to bicycle ride. It's important to have this ability to do that. But to forego the car for the bicycle is what Communist China did. That's what's going to happen in the future in this country, I'm sorry to say. Seven Tour de France's, one Tour de France is amazing. Seven of them. This feat that he just accomplished will never be reaccomplished in our lifetime. There will be no one to win seven Tour de France's in our lifetimes. I can pretty well guarantee that, listeners. Unless he's tutored by Lance Armstrong, and then maybe that'll happen. Maybe it'll be his son to pull it off, Luke. Who knows? But to see that beautiful countryside in France, to watch all that coming together was quite amazing. And in the meantime, we have the Sovietization of America. We have KGB chiefs who are developing the internal passport in our country. We have certain directions being implemented today that is very, very secretive. Homeland Security. Laws being put on the books that will make us all criminals in the future. And I'm sorry to say this is happening. But when you connect these dots, when you realize what's happening, you cannot stop in your education study. And that's why AmericanExposé.com is up there. That's why we have much information for you to connect dots to. I'm hoping that as we bring this about, listeners, we have the deliberate dumbing down as a partner site to our website now. Charlotte, are you there? We will have Charlotte Isaby back with us momentarily, listeners, and we will connect to the deliberate dumbing down of America, the Sovietization of America, these situations that are very, very ominous, CAFTA and the dietary supplement setup. Much more today in a two-hour broadcast, the inaugural broadcast of American Exposé. Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé, the inaugural broadcast on Republic Broadcasting. We'll have John Stadtmiller at the bottom of the hour. Charlotte Isaby will be with us in the second hour, a miscommunication on my behalf. So Charlotte will be with us, listeners, on the second hour. If you want to call in, this is the time to do so, 800-313-9443. As I said, John Stadtmiller will be with us at the bottom of the hour. We need to get a pledge drive going to keep this operation flourishing and in place. And certainly I understand the diligence of having to do this after all these years of having my experience on the air. So if you want to call in, 800-343-9443 is that number. And I talk about the Sovietization of America and the emergence and the convergence of our country with Russia, China. The situation with communist China is very, very obvious. As you go shopping daily, or whenever you do go shopping, you'll see products made in communist China constantly. And that should concern most people that are understanding the big picture in place. But the ultimate end goal of the Sovietization of America and the convergence is very, very obvious when you look at the Moscow Times dated July 22nd through the 28th, 2005. Moscow Times, it's a weekly publication, obviously, and they say the Global Eye Master Plan is in place. The Moscow Times listeners, just amazing people. The United States long ago ceased to be anything like a living, thriving republic. That's what the Moscow Times says. The United States long ago ceased to be anything like a living, thriving republic. And this is the Moscow Times, listeners. Pay attention. But it retained the legal form of a republic, and that counted for something. As long as the legal form still existed, even as a gutted shell, there was hope it might be filled again one day with substance. This is, in my opinion, our enemy describing this country to them over there in Russia. But now the very legal structures of the republic are now being dismantled. And once again, we've been a democracy for years, listeners. The principle of arbitrary rule by an autocratic leader is being openly established through a series of unchallenged executive orders, perverse Justice Department rulings, and court decisions by psychopathic judges who defer to power, not law, in their determinations. How can we just discount what this is saying? How can we discount it, listeners? They're right on the money. What we are witnessing is the creation of a commander-in-chief state where the form and pressure of law no longer apply to the president and his designated agents. The rights of individuals are no longer inalienable, nor are their persons inviolable. All depends on the goodwill of the commander, the military autocrat. President George W. Bush has granted himself the power to declare anyone on earth, including any U.S. citizen, an enemy combatant for any reason he sees fit. Can we discount what Moscow Times says about President Bush with the Patriot Act, Patriot Act II, Homeland Security, consolidation of power in the federal government? We can't argue this, listeners. Moscow Times, pay attention. He can render them up for torture. He can imprison them for life. He can even have them killed, all without charges, with no burden of proof, no standards of evidence, no legislative oversight, no appeal, no judicial process whatsoever, except those that he himself deems to construct, with whatever limitations he cares to impose. Nor can he ever be prosecuted for any order he issues, however criminal. In the new American system laid out by Bush's legal minions, the commander is sacrosanct beyond the reach of any law or constitution. Listeners, this is the Moscow Times stating the facts as you and I, as being educated people, would state the same thing. This is not hyperbole. It is simply the reality of the United States today. The principle of unrestricted presidential power is now being codified into law and incorporated into the institutional structures of the state. As the Web Log Deep Blade Journal reports in a compendium of recent outrages against liberty, liberty, as if Moscow had any semblance of our liberty ever. People in Moscow cannot travel freely to other countries. To this very, very day, listeners, I have an eyewitness to this. My young friend who went to meet his future bride in Russia has presumably returned, and I have not heard one word, so I'm sure he's back. So listen carefully to what the Moscow Times says. For example, last Friday, a panel of federal judges, including John Roberts, nominated for the Supreme Court this week, upheld Bush's claim to depose of enemy combatants any way he pleases. The Washington Post reports in a chilling decision, the judges ruled that the commander's arbitrarily designated enemies are non-persons. Neither the Geneva Conventions nor American military and domestic law apply to such garbage. Bush is now free to subject anyone he likes to his self-concocted military tribunal system. A brutal sham that retired top U.S. military officials have denounced as a kangaroo court that tyrants around the world can cite in order to hide their oppression under U.S. precedent. The kowtowing court ruling ignores the fact that the Geneva Conventions, which lay down strict guidelines for the handling of any person detained by military forces, regardless of the captive's status, have been incorporated into the U.S. legal code. Deep Blade points out they cannot be abrogated by presidential fiat. And anyone who commits a grave breach of the conventions by facilitating the killing, torture, or inhumane treatment of detainees, such as stripping them of all legal status and subjecting them to a rigid tribunal, is subject to the death penalty under U.S. law. This is why the Bush faction labored so mightily to advance the absurd fiction that the Geneva Conventions are somehow voluntary, while simultaneously promulgating the sinister Führungsgewaltsum of unlimited presidential authority. That's obviously a Russian word I have no familiarity of. The fiction was a temporary sop to the crumbling legal form of the Republic, a cynical perversion of existing law to keep justice at bay until the, once again, this Russian word, Führungsgewaltsum, could be firmly established as the new foundation of the state. Now, listeners, they're talking about a republic. When's the last time you heard any word of a republic in this country? It's all been a democracy. And see the propaganda machine at work from the Moscow Times is my point of covering this. It doesn't matter anymore if the president's orders to suspend the conventions, construct a worldwide gulag, torture captives, spy on Americans, fabricate intelligence and wage aggressive war are illegal under the quaint structures of the old dispensation. The courts, packed with Bush's comrades, are now affirming the new order, the critical authority of the commander beyond law and morality, on the higher plane of what Bush calls the path of action. This phrase, with its remarkable Mussolinian echoes, was incorporated into the official national security strategy of the United States, promulgated by Bush in September 2002. That document, in turn, was drawn largely from a manifesto issued in September 2000 by a Bush faction group whose members included Dick Cheney, Don Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, and Jeb Bush. Their detailed plan envisioned the transformation of America into a militarized state, planting military footprints throughout Central Asia and the Middle East, invading Iraq, expanding the nuclear arsenal, massively increasing the defense budget, and predicating all these revolutionary changes on the hopes for a new Pearl Harbor that would catalyze the lazy American public into supporting their militarist agenda. The agenda is designed, the group said, to establish full-spectrum dominance over geopolitical affairs, assuring control of world energy resources and precluding the rise of any potential global rival that might threaten the unchecked wealth and privilege of the U.S. elite. The rule of law could only be a hindrance to such a scheme, hence its replacement by the Führungsgewaltsum and the path of action. There has been virtually no institutional resistance to this open coup d'etat, It's now clear that the American establishment and a significant portion of the American people have given up on the democratic experiment. They no longer wish to govern themselves. They want to be ruled by strong leaders who will do whatever it takes to protect them from harm and keep them in clover. They have sold their golden birthright of American liberty for a mess of cowards' pottage. Isn't that amazing? From the Moscow Times, Global Eye Master Plan. Is that not remarkable, people? The ultimate end goal of all this is to merge our countries together under the UN umbrella, in my opinion. We'll come back. We'll bring up Joe in Pennsylvania and anyone else that wants to get involved here, listeners. This is American Exposé, the inaugural broadcast. Stay with me. Broadcast called American Exposé, inaugural broadcast, Monday the 25th of July, 2005. This Global Eye Master Plan, listeners, from Moscow Times, is available for you to look at on the website, AmericanExposé.com. It's there for you to peruse and read yourself. The documentation speaks for itself. The sourced information speaks for itself. The continual direction to enslave the world is well underway. And you can't dispute anything that the Moscow Times says. The only point about it is the Hegelian dialectic is coming into place. That is the point and the problem. The call-in number, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. My friend Jake in California just called to congratulate me on this new direction. And we have Joe in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the broadcast, Joe.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
Fine, and you?
I'm fine. I see. I've been following you around, listening to where you're at, so forth and so on.
Kind of amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, from point A, point B, point C. I mean, you might as well have a roadmap to the world.
Well, I need a roadmap to know where I'm going, so I can tell the guests what time they're going to be on.
Right. Well, we'll have to get some flyers again, like I made before for you, or something like that. You know.
That would be great.
You know, I heard you talking earlier about China and this and that, and Charlie Isserby was on Alan Stang earlier, you know?
Yes.
And one thing she said, which I wasn't aware of, but she said, like Rubbermaid, you know, they just decided to close down because they were getting ultimatums from Walmart and stuff, you know?
Who closed down?
Rubbermaid, she said.
I see.
Now, I didn't check that, but that's what she said. But, you know, to Chinese stuff, you know how I am. I won't buy anything made in China, and my daughter and myself were in Home Depot, you know, the other day, you know, to try to get some spigots for the sink.
Yes.
Everything I picked up, I mean, they were pretty nice looking, this and that, you know, Moen or this or that, you know, made in China, like from $200 down to like $100 or $80, made in China.
I know.
And I won't buy them. So I tried to buy some parts to try to repair what I have.
I rebuilt the motor in my truck recently.
Right.
It's a NAFTA motor. And the dipstick's made in China. I pull that dipstick out, nice little chrome dipstick, you know, and I say, and there's a big made in China on the dipstick. I had a conniption fit.
Oh, I'd stick a screwdriver in there or something, you know, a Craftsman long screwdriver or something like that. Man, you know. Yeah, this Chinese stuff people don't understand, you know, they just don't care, and people, you know, I have a friend that, I mean, he's a pretty smart guy, and everything, but, well, if I can buy it cheaper, you know, I want to buy it cheaper. You know, and that's the sad thing, that people don't understand that.
There it is.
You know?
There it is.
They're going to buy themselves into poverty is what they're going to do.
Well, we continue to buy slave labor products. We have slave labor in America with the prison systems.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to be a slave. People are going to have to go to other countries from this country to work for slave wages. And that's the part of the World Trade Organization called the Negotiating Group on the Movement of Natural Persons.
Yeah, you know, maybe all the smart, informed Americans should move out of this country and let this country go to whatever way they want to take it.
Sam, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go?
I don't know. I heard Germany's pretty good now. That, you know, there's more freedoms there than there is in this country.
The
now.
Germans aren't going to accept us. Well, our former enemy.
We'll all learn German when we get in there. That way they won't have to worry about teaching us, you know?
Germany's overpopulated with immigration, too, you know.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. They don't want any more migration coming to their country. Because they're in the same circumstance that we are. I would think, to a certain degree, they're having to fight the loss of certain jobs going to China as well in Germany.
I think it's pretty sad when, you know, Mexico gets things made in China, too, now, you know.
Right. Well, Mexico's a communist country. Their NAFTA vision has not worked out, so many of those NAFTA directions went to communist China.
You know, I mean, what is it? There's only like two supposedly still American car companies, and GM might go first, and then I guess Ford would follow afterwards, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chrysler is owned by Germans now, so, I mean, you know, people say you want to buy an American car. You know, you really can't even do that now. My suggestion to all these people that are out there listening, go buy your old cars.
Yeah.
Keep your old cars, you know, and do whatever you have to do to keep them running.
That
heck with these new pieces of whatever, you know?
You betcha.
One last thing I want to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
Hemmings Motor News. Do you get that anymore?
I do.
Do you?
I do. I do subscribe to Hemmings.
Okay, look in the August issue or September issue. There's a Mercedes on the cover. You might already have it. Read the article. A friend of mine works for Hemmings now.
Okay.
The article is on page 42. It's called Fighting Junk Laws.
Oh, wow.
This is an editor of the magazine. He lives in Vermont, and they start half on him. So he's talking, he's saying basically we live in a communist country in his article and stuff like that.
And this is what edition of Hemmings? The latest?
Yeah, the September 2005. There's a red Mercedes on the cover.
All right. Very, very good.
And read that article. I mean, you know, he wants people to write into him, so I'm going to write into him.
I'll read it to the listeners when I get it.
You know.
That's
be good. People need to realize another thing. People don't understand when they don't get concerned until something happens to them. And then it's too late.
Yes.
Remember that thing that the rabbi wrote in World War II, I think it was, where he something like, well, they came for the Protestants, I wasn't a Protestant. They came for the Muslims, I wasn't a Muslim. They came for the Christians, did this.
Yes.
Until they got left to him, there was nobody to help him.
Yes. Now's the time to get active.
All right, Chris, I just wanted to call and say hello, and I still following you and stuff like that.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, and good luck.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your information. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. We have Dave in Arkansas, and I think we'll be visited by John Stadmiller sometime in this bottom hour. Stay with us. The show is just underway. Second hour, we'll have Charlotte Iserby. Stay with us. Broadcast called American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. We can take your phone calls for this half hour, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We will have Charlotte Iserby with us in the second hour, and certainly we'll be connecting dots to the Sovietization of America, TAFTA, which is part of the Sovietization of America, listeners. NAFTA, part of the Sovietization of America. Regionalism, part of the Sovietization of America. The UN system, part of the Sovietization of America. Dave in Arkansas, welcome to the broadcast.
Congratulations, Chris. It's sure great to hear you up on Republic.
Thank you, my friend.
Oh, it's a great day.
Well, I feel the same. And certainly we are doing our best to do the best for our country. And we have a new addition to the website on the right or on the left, as you scroll down in the index, Solutions. And that's on our website, AmericanExpose.com. Solutions, listeners. Did you see that, Dave?
Yes, sir, I sure did, and thank you so much.
Well, hey, you know, you're working hard to do the right thing for our country. And you're going to be the guest on the first hour tomorrow. And Solutions by Dave Wilson, listeners, is there. And maybe you can explain a little bit of this, Dave.
I sure be happy to as best I can, Chris, because
right
we're at such a crossroads now that you know, there have been so-called movements to take back your state or take back this. But in my opinion, it's time to reclaim our American birthright, one patriot at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Because one cannot claim to be one thing and act like another. And the biggest confusion exists out there because these law writers, these members of the bar associations, if you would.
Yes.
I like to call them word wizards engaged in semantic sorcery.
That's relevant.
Or sophistry. Either one fits.
Uh-huh.
And the legal definitions of even small words like in, of, and at is part of the scheme to enslave the people of this country, and it's worked very well for them.
Well, now, it, though.
Yes. Well, if you want to reclaim your parental authority, check out on Chris's website the affidavit of or notice of parental authority to refuse consent for vaccinations and several other things.
Yeah, it is. It is very much in your face. Now, you've had experience with this this consent document that you put together, correct?
Yes, sir.
And what has been the effect of that direction?
Well, a 16-year-old boy was admitted to another school district without any shot record or anything else.
Wonderful.
This notice has some teeth in it, particularly regarding the vaccinations. It also pertains to sex education, obesity testing, and psychological profiling, and so on and so forth. So when you see your rights being trampled on and definitely encroached upon, then you're obligated to notice them of that fact and give them an opportunity to correct their abuse and their errors. And if they don't, then they are in default.
And that's very, very well stated, and certainly that's why we're going to be together tomorrow to discuss this. And it gives you the opportunity now, listeners, to know where to go and to be versed on what Dave's doing in the first edition of the solution section of AmericanExpose.com.
Right. If they'll go to your website, AmericanExpose.com, then they could kind of follow right along.
That's exactly what's the idea here, isn't it, Dave?
Yes, sir.
And if you have any questions, listeners, and we're, right now, it's just amazing. We're not even on shortwave right now. ironic. Wherever I go, shortwave has a problem. I don't understand. I'm certainly not going to say it's a conspiracy, listeners. But hopefully shortwave will be up, and we'll have the full spectrum of listeners when you show up tomorrow, Dave.
Well, I think it's high time to smash this so-called conspiracy.
Amen.
Expose it for all its evilness and do away with it.
Well, you're on a great road to recovering certain sovereignties, and I always knew you were going to, and that's why I didn't hesitate in putting you up on the website.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate it, partner.
My privilege, my friend.
Take good care.
I'll talk to you tomorrow at this time slot.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 800-313-9443 is the number. If you want to get involved, I want you to realize that we are deep into a situation that is most obvious to those that do any kind of research at all. You have to encourage people to do their own research. You have to encourage them to look at the facts on the websites. There's good websites, there's bad websites, but the documentation on all these directions to take us down, what does the State Department do? They have the U.S. mission to the United Nations. They have sustainable development partnerships, a new website by the State Department, the Department of State. You have Agenda 21 under full implementation. And then you have friends and partners linking U.S.-Russia across the Internet from the Ford Foundation, which is an international non-commercial charitable organization, they call it. It operates as an independent, non-profit, non-governmental organization, an NGO, under the direction of the Board of Trustees. founded as a local charity in 1936. It bequests from the members of the Ford family. The foundation no longer has any connection with the Ford Motor Company. The trustees of the foundation set policy and delegate authority to the president and senior staff for the foundation's grant making and operation. In addition to its New York headquarters, the foundation has field offices in many parts of the world. Program offices in New York and in the field offices explore opportunities to pursue the foundation's goals, formulate strategies, and recommend proposals for funding. Since its inception, the foundation, that's the Ford Foundation, listeners, has provided over $8 billion in grants and loans. The foundation's Moscow office was opened in 1996, listeners. The goals of the Ford Foundation are to strengthen democratic values. Well, that's interesting, as we just covered from Moscow Times, the fact that we are a debilitating republic. That's what the Moscow Times says we are. But yet, the Ford Foundation is here to strengthen democratic values, reduce poverty and injustice, and promote international cooperation and advance human achievement. This has been their purpose for almost half a century, they say. What did Rowan Gaither state to Norman Dodd, who was on a commission, I believe it was the Reese Commission, to investigate un-American activities? I could be wrong on that, but Rowan Gaither, president of the Ford Foundation, stated to Norman Dodd that we shall use our grant-making power to comfortably merge this country with the Soviet Union. So here you see, right on the Internet, the Ford Foundation. And what do they say? A fundamental challenge facing every society is to create political, economic, and social systems that promote peace, human welfare, and sustainability of the environment on which life depends. Why would they be making a statement like that, listeners? They have the big picture in place, people. The big picture in place. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Rick in Tennessee, welcome to the show.
Chris, yeah. I just wanted to say that so far I'm enjoying your new show.
Thank you.
I'm endeavoring to do what I can. I'm very poor financially, but I try to push your show around here, or try to push the network, RBN, around here, introduce people to it. I may be coming up on a new job. If I do, then I will provide some monetary help to RBN.
Well, I sure appreciate it, and I'm sure they do, too.
And I'll tell you what, I don't necessarily agree with everything that every host says or every guest or caller.
Well, that's good.
But I do agree with basically with thinking, with trying to form one's own opinions. A lot of people are bad about just following whatever Patriot A or Patriot B says, and then turn around and accuse those who blindly follow the government when they're doing the same thing. Instead, weigh the evidence. Think for yourself.
And document where you go.
Yes. But I will say this. I am one of the world's worst, if you want to call it worst, of supporting a self-sufficiency among the patriots and among everybody else. If you have a skill, hone that skill down. If it's gardening, if it's working with hand tools, if it's blacksmithing, anything that will help to make you independent of the system.
Yeah, good point. Very important.
And in future, when you hear me call in, a lot of times that will be the very thing that I support. When I've talked on Frank's program, it was always the same thing. When it was on Robbie's, it was always the same thing, in that I try to get people to do what they can in their local communities, not necessarily to create dissent, but rather to create self-sufficiency. Mm-hmm. If it's to teach some kid how to make a basket, mm-hmm. that is that much that kid will depend less on communist China for what he gets or she gets.
Yes, yes.
So I just want to encourage the listeners, the same as I've always done, the same as always will do, try to do things for yourself, get good hand tools, teach others how to work with their hands with hand tools, teach them crafts that have been handed down, teach them gardening. If there's anybody out there that cooks on a wood stove, teach some young lady from the community how to do the same. Stuff like that.
Good thoughts.
I'm going to leave you be. I will bless.
Thank you very, very much, Rick. Thank you for your call. Bye-bye now. Rick from Tennessee, Pregnant Thoughts by Rick in Tennessee. We have some more time, and certainly we're looking forward to getting out on shortwave today. That is 9.975. Keep monitoring it, listeners, to let us know when we're up. 9.975 WWCR Shortwave Radio. The number to call, 800-313-9443. Back to the Ford Foundation, listeners. We have this Agenda 21 going on. We have sustainable development, which is a code name for Agenda 21, sustainable development. Smart growth, an offshoot of that. And the Biodiversity Treaty, part of the Agenda 21 plan. They say the Ford Foundation is one source of support for these activities. We work mainly by making grants or loans that build knowledge and strengthen organizations and networks. Since their financial resources are modest in comparison to societal needs, they focus on a limited number of problem areas and program strategies within their broad goals. Now, what are their broad goals? Foundation policy on diversity, listeners. In its work throughout the world, the Ford Foundation seeks to promote pluralism and equal opportunity, and to end discrimination based on race, ethnicity, or gender. Usually we use the English term diversity to describe this principle. When foundation staff consider grant applications, they examine first the quality of the proposed project, and then such factors as the qualifications of the staff, budget, projections, and the contribution the project's success would make to the foundation's larger goals. And what is the foundation's larger goals? To comfortably merge the U.S. with Russia. As discussions proceed, staff also consider the opportunities applicants provide to historically disadvantaged groups and the scope of their efforts to achieve diversity within their organizations. In the United States, diversity concerns focus on gender and minority representation, and where appropriate, national origin. Outside the United States, diversity in gender and, where appropriate, ethnic, racial, or national origin is considered. The organization's efforts to achieve diversity in its organizational structure are often discussed during the grant or loan period, and they are a factor in the foundation's consideration of subsequent grant requests. And so this is all very, very interesting from the Ford Foundation. And what are their activities in Russia? Beginning in 1950, the Ford Foundation sponsored a range of activities in the countries of the former Soviet Union and those of Central Europe. And once again, in 1950, it wasn't the former Soviet Union. It was the Soviet Union. They changed their name to Dumb Down Us because you still aren't free to roam in Russia. Ronnie just found that out. Ronnie hasn't contacted me either about his meeting his future bride in Russia. But the point is, the reason the Soviet Union was dismantled was for our consumption, accepting the evil empire is gone. And that's why I put Hansa Molina on. Anticommunistanalyst.com is his website. It's on our website. He knows more than we do about certain directions. And we need to continue bringing him up. This Wednesday he'll be with us as he's able to come on. Hansa Molina. I continue to put him on for an obvious reason to many of you. So under the title Activities of the Ford Foundation in Russia during the period 1950 to 1988. That's just before the fall of the Soviet Union. The foundation spent more than $60 million to improve Western understanding of the region, the Soviet Union listeners, to further the analysis of key issues in East-West relation, and to promote freedom of expression, cultural pluralism, and respect for human rights. Oh, my. The activities of the Ford Foundation, listeners. Ford Foundation wants to merge this country with Russia. Still do. Charlotte Isby will be with us in the second hour of the broadcast. We have a little bit of time. Stay with us. Listeners, the inaugural broadcast of American Exposé, being that it's not on shortwave, and I'll bet you it won't be on shortwave until the end of this broadcast in the next hour. You wait and see. This broadcast today will be replayed this Friday, as I have a major doctor's appointment to attend on Friday. So we will replay today's broadcast this Friday, and we'll see what happens. Joe in Pennsylvania was alluding to Hemmings. Hemmings Motor News is the world's largest collector car marketplace, and it's the Bible for car collectors is what I call it. And they have situations in this publication and letters. They talk about supporting organizations if you care for your cars. And they say the following organizations are among those most active in protecting, preserving, and promoting the collector car hobby. And what I have here is the August edition of Hemmings. I don't have the new one yet. But they talk about Citizens Against Repressive Zoning. Jack Down, and who has been a guest on this broadcast in the past. Cars, that's Citizens Against Repressive Zoning, Cars, C-A-R-Z. Is an organization designed to help car collectors or any landowner fight unreasonable and unconstitutional nuisance zoning codes, rules, and regulations. Support consists of donations and copies of cases wherein landowners have won against nuisance zoning. CARZ, C-A-R-Z, that's Citizens Against Repressive Zoning, hopes to establish a chapter in every state to unearth zoning sites and create a directory of attorneys in all states who are conversant with nuisance zoning. CARZ currently publishes 66 bulletins on how to understand and fight anti-auto zoning. The bulletins are $45. Membership dues are $15, and $55 includes both membership and bulletins. And you can send a large self-addressed stamped envelope, and they'll send you their brochure and the catalog of publications. To be on CARZ mailing list, you're encouraged to send $10 for a year subscription, which includes newsletters and announcements. Now, people, I suggest you connect to CARZ. Very, very important to connect to them. Their address. Well, their phone number. Let's give you the phone number of CARZ, and you can take it from there. 914-739-0268. That's 914-739-0268. That's Citizens Against Repressive Zoning, CARZ, C-A-R-Z. Their phone number, 914-739-0268. Tell them I told you to call in. And I'm concerned about our automobiles, and certainly I'm not one to go buy a new one. I've never been one to do that. My 71 Chevy truck is dear to me after all these years, 34 years of having that one vehicle. Built to last a lifetime, I said so at the beginning of when I got it. There's never been a reason to replace it. Just keep maintaining those old vehicles. Keep the oil changed. Keep the service up on them. They'll treat you right. And the new cars, well, they've got global positioning satellite systems on them. They've got all sorts of directions to suppress you and control you and manipulate you. That's the new ones. The first hour is in the books. We will continue into the second hour with a Charlotte Iserby. The DeliberateDumbingDown.com is the website, which is on our website, AmericanExpose.com. We will be right back. Stay with us.